Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
We're doing something really fun and unique this week, something that we've never done before. We're taking a look in the rearview mirror at some of the shows in the past. Over the past 6 years, we're going on show number 300. Can you believe it? Well, this fourth show that I want to revisit this week is show number 32. It originally aired on May 28th of 2013 on Faith Talk 1360 out of Phoenix, Arizona. My guest was Laura Gallier, and we discussed her book, Why Wait? What Singles Need to Know About Sex and Dating. On today's episode of God, Sex, and You, we'll discuss, number one, isn't this concept of reserving sex for marriage unrealistic? Number two, don't people need to know if they're sexually compatible before they get married? And number three, we'll ask the question, what is so sacred about sex anyway? We'll discuss all these questions and a whole lot more with Laura. Before we get to the show, I want to mention here, starting in the middle of March, I'm going to be hosting several online weekly groups and classes for pornography and sex addiction. I'm going to be teaching out of my book, The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. There are four classes to choose from, two on Monday, two on Wednesdays, and each class is limited to 12 people. And because you're a podcast listener and I love you, I want to give you a 50% discount on the class. And all you have to do is type in the coupon code podcast. Let me give you some encouragement here. If you're dealing with this pornography thing and you don't know what to do, you haven't known what to do for a long time, talking to a group in person, going to a pastor, that just is not in the cards for you right now. Let this be a baby step to that, because this is the best way to experience how to exit this spiral of pornography, and that is to be discipled. It's a great way to do it from your home or for your office, and you can also ask your personal questions. So once again, let me encourage you to jump on the website to learn more. That's dustindaniels.org. Here's today's show. It's titled, Why Wait? What Singles Need to Know About Sex and Dating. Welcome to the Dustin Daniels Show. Radio program dedicated to saving marriages and protecting children by bridging this gap between pornography and the church pew. Radio broadcast devoted to exposing this lie that's in pornography and instead pursuing the purity that is in Jesus Christ. I am your host, a redeemed sex addict, and now by God's amazing grace, a purity pastor for those who want help with understanding this intersection of life, lust, and purity. It is my job to start this conversation about porn and sex, purity and abstinence. And my hope and my prayer is that you will continue this conversation with your spouse and with your kids and with your small groups and with your accountability partners and your church. And by the way, this is not a rated R show. And just because we're talking about sex and we use words like pornography and masturbation, that does not mean this is rated R. We are far from a Howard Stern program. This is a family show that focuses on the truth of sexual health and sexual education from a biblical foundation. If you have a question that you'd like to ask on air, you can call us toll free at 1-855-5-DUSTIN. Today's show is dedicated to all the singles. You crazy single people. One of the most frequently asked questions I get from singles is, why should I have to wait for sex? And that is a great question. And before I introduce my guest today, I just want to make an observation. And I've kind of seen this over a pattern over the last couple of years from single men. And the pattern is this. You guys tend to believe that you need to be taught and counseled and pastored differently than married guys. It's almost like God's set of principles for sex and porn and masturbation only apply to married men. And for whatever reason, you wonderful single people think that you're the only one with certain questions about sex and dating. It's almost kind of funny, like you're not considering that married men were actually single guys before they were married. So here's the deal. If you are single, here's what I want you to do. I want you to join our online community group today. I want you to go to 7places.org and get signed up. Spell out the number 7, S-E-V-E-N, 7places.org. This is a worldwide free online community group to where you can get plugged in today to a group of people who have thought the same things that you think. They've asked the same questions that you're asking, and they're walking this sex and dating and porn journey out just like you are. There are pastors and biblical counselors who will also answer your questions. And you know what? Here's the biggest thing. They want to pour their lives into yours. So obviously, if you know what Facebook is, then you're going to know what this is. The biggest difference is that it's completely anonymous. It's Christ-based. It's completely secure and completely free. So there is no excuse. And it'll probably save you a lot of money when it comes to counseling. Today on the show, to help us start this conversation with our single friends, we have author and speaker Laura Gallier. Laura, welcome back to the Dustin Daniels Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Laura, you're the founder and director of Laura Gallier Ministries. You're also a published author and speaker. And last week, we talked to the parents on how to inspire abstinence for their kids. And this week, we want to turn the tables and speak directly to the teens and to the singles and address this issue of why they should wait for sex. Mm-hmm. And you have written a book. It's called Why Wait? What Singles Need to Know About Sex and Dating. And before we get into the content of that, if you could briefly tell us about kind of your background, why you wrote this book and your ministry.
Sure. Well, I like to say that I grew up as a typical teen, meaning that my assumption was that someday when I found the right person, I would have sex. And I thought, surely I won't be 18 or 19 and not have sex, because that would be weird. You know, this is my culturally inspired mindset. Right. Was not having any conversations with my mom. I live with my mom. She's a single mom. Anyway, by the time I was in the eighth grade, I had my first boyfriend, and we went from being afraid to even hold hands, kind of that natural prudence, to actually being sexually active in 2 months' time of just spending a lot of time together unsupervised. So I started down that lifestyle. I thought, sure, I was going to marry that young man. We didn't even make it to the ninth grade. And then I bought into the idea that, hey, I've already blown it, so what's the point? I had no boundaries, just sought out intimate relationships with guys who I thought, you know, I might build a life with. And fast forward to the time when I'm 20 years old, once again in a lust-based relationship that was unhealthy, and I ended up getting pregnant out of wedlock. I dropped out of college, got married, tried to salvage the situation, but it was unhealthy. And 2 years later, he ended up leaving. So at 22 years of age, as a single mom, it finally occurred to me. I didn't know much about the Bible, was definitely not raised in church, but I knew that God had reserved sex for marriage, and it suddenly dawned on me that he was trying to protect me, that his commandments were his method of protection, and that it was really self-defeating to go around that. And so I committed at that time to do things God's way. I had good boundaries. I ended up meeting a man named Patrick, and we did reserve sex for marriage. We've now been married 12 years and been fruitful, multiplied. We have 4 children. And so I'm in a unique position because I know what it's like to do things the world's way and eat the fruit of that. And I know what it's like to do things God's way and reap the benefits of that. So now I'm committed to talking to parents and young people, teenagers, even older elementary kids, about God's plan for sex and family.
That is such an amazing story. I mean, glory to God, and that you are listening, and now, you know, that God has given you this passion to tell your story, because not many people want to do that.
Right.
You know,
yes, it's a humbling experience to stand up and tell that story, but there's just not enough of that going on in the church. There's just so much sexual shame, whether it's from the past or the present. And so I like to get that conversation started in a tactful, orderly way and give people that liberty to talk about it.
Well, let's dive into your book. Your book is called Why Wait? What Singles Need to Know About Sex and Dating. So if you're a teen, if you're a single, if you're a parent, I want you to log on to Laura's website and order this book. She also has other resources there for you to purchase and read and apply. Go to her website. It's lauragallier.com. Once again, L-A-U-R-A, Gallier, G-A-L-L-I-E-R.com. And from a teen's perspective, Laura, isn't this concept of reserving sex for marriage just unbelievably unrealistic?
That's what modern society would want to impose on our young people and make them believe. But I like to say that don't confuse unpopular with unrealistic. Three generations ago, when my grandmother was young and dating, it was the social norm to wait. And they waited without much of a conversation about it because it was implied that if you put your hands on me, you don't respect me.
Right.
And that's not to say that there weren't people having sex, but we have just come so far in such a short time. I don't think young people can appreciate the perspective of just how recently it was that it was the social norm to wait.
This idea in our culture, it's just this microwave technology, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Theology, really. We deserve things right now. I'm not going to wait for anything. One of the things that I get asked a lot, and I'm sure you do too, is I need to know, Laura, I need to know if I'm going to be sexually compatible with my boyfriend. Or is that more of a man question, or is that more of a girl question on your end?
Oh, no. I mean, females say it all the time, too.
Okay.
And there's this idea that you're just completely ignorant if you're going to get married and not, you know, give it a whirl, give that person a test drive. You know, make sure that you have this supposed sexual compatibility. Research indicates that couples improve over time in terms of meeting each other's needs, which makes sense because it gives you time to communicate. And actually, that's just a philosophy for promiscuity. It's easy to say you want to test someone out, but in the reality of dumping someone after you slept with them because they didn't quite meet your expectations is just really cruel, not to mention the fact that probably that expectation has been set by comparing them to either a pornographic imagery or your own experiences you never should have had. So everything about it is just really an empty and vain thought process. And ultimately, I like to quote my grandmother that I just mentioned, because she's the one who told me that there are some things worse than sex they have to practice over and over to get it right. And she was right. You know, that's a really unbiblical, ungodly philosophy.
Well, and I like to boil that question down to a couple different things and walk with me through this.
Sure.
If a single guy is going to ask me that question, mm-hmm. I go down to the very basics. And my first question is the person that you are wanting to date or possibly get married to, is it a woman? Well, yes, it's a woman. Okay, you're a man, she's a woman. Okay, then yes, you are sexually compatible.
Exactly.
You've got all the correct parts to do this sacred union under the covenant mm-hmm. of marriage. And mm-hmm. I find, Laura, that only people who are addicted, if you don't like that word addicted, we'll use the word dependent on porn and masturbation, actually ask this question.
Sure.
Because it's a performance question, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if you've never had sex and you've never had others or have never seen others having sex, how can you not be compatible?
Exactly. It's very well said.
So what is the big deal about porn? Why is that such a big deal?
Well, if you had a four-hour show, that would help. But in about two minutes, it's truly toxic to the soul. It changes the way we see the opposite sex. We no longer see them as God's creation, but as objects for our pleasure. And ultimately, research is conclusive. It causes brain damage, literally. The dopamine rush caused by looking at pornography floods our brain. And then when those levels drop after we remove ourselves from the pornography with repeated exposure, our dopamine levels drop below normal and make us feel depressed. This drives us back to the porn. The only thing is we need even trashier imagery or we won't quite get the high. And that is why pornography creates a cycle of depravity, where you can have someone starting out looking at what they might call soft porn, and you check back in with them a couple of years later, and they're into pedophilia, and they're, you know, looking at children. As a matter of fact, 1 in 4 image searches on a college campuses, multiple college campuses, revealed that 1 in 4 college students were not just searching for pornography, but for child pornography. Mm. And you ask, how does a person get to a place where they're aroused by children being violated and abused? But the truth is, it's actually the cognitive nature of this vicious cycle. It literally atrophies the frontal part of the brain, which is responsible for judgment and reasoning, which is why pornographers are often impulsive and compulsive and hard to get along with. There are just huge physical consequences. Impotency is one of them. You know, again, I could go on and on, but there's a few right there.
No, that's great. I mean, because a lot of times I get that question a lot. You know, Dustin, you are making such a big deal out of this porn thing. You know, you're so old fashioned and mm-hmm. and it's not that big of a deal. And mm-hmm. my question, you know, and this is a 16, 17, 18 year old kid asking me this. And my response is, you know, I chased that lie personally for over 20 years of my life. Mm-hmm. I ended up in depression and getting ready to commit suicide one day. Mm. And it started at the age of, just like you said earlier, you know, 7 or 8 years old, when I found my dad's porn stash. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen overnight. It took mm-hmm. 20 years to get to the point that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But that's the type of sin that we're dealing with.
Sure. And anyone who would even argue or defend pornography has just really got a desensitized heart, especially with modern day pornography that is so violent and so degrading, involves physically hurting women, doing things to them that are truly consequential to their health. And it's just beyond, the pinup girl, not that that was okay, but anyone who can't recognize just how cruel pornography is extremely desensitized.
I am speaking with author and speaker Laura Gallier, and we're talking about her book, Why Wait? What Singles Need to Know About Sex and Dating. Laura, how far is going too far for singles?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. We kind of comment, you raid. Sometimes we're asking the wrong question, right? When we get young people going, well, how far can I go?
Right.
It means, well, we need to roll up our sleeves and get back to laying a foundation here, because it's not about pushing the boundaries. Having said that, when we do want to set some boundaries, and we are legitimately asking that question, we need to know that the further we go, the further we'll want to go. We need to know that even kissing causes our bodies to be flooded with testosterone, which then signals our bodies to start physically preparing for sexual intercourse, at which point we'll feel frustrated and have physical symptoms if we don't follow through. And so really, it's like anything else. I use this example, you know, if you're on a diet and you really need to lose weight, are you going to go study at the library? Are you going to go study, you know, at the ice cream parlor and just promise yourself, well, I'm not going to have any.
All right.
But that's what we do. And like with young people, I tell them, you know, you say you're walking in abstinence, but you go to your boyfriend's house, you sit in the media room with the lights off and parents aren't home, and then say, where's God's grace? How come this is so hard to resist? So it's a lot of just practicality. I know when my husband and I were dating, he had an apartment, and he didn't want me over at his apartment. He was in his 30s.
Right.
You know, I was in my mid-20s. We were grown adults, but we set boundaries because we knew the more we did, the more we'd want to do. And so we didn't want to set ourselves up for failure.
And that's why God's word says run, flee.
Exactly.
Because we lose our minds, don't we, Laura?
If we're hormonally speaking, yes.
I mean, if we actually think that, yes, I'm 16, 17 years old, or even younger than that, 14, 15, and I'm over at my parents' house, my boyfriend's house, and the parents are gone, and we're going to watch a movie with the lights out. Mm-hmm. That is a recipe for disaster. You don't have the self-control. I mean, that takes years and years and years to walk that thing out. So here's another question that kind of goes along with those lines. But Laura, what if we're in love? What if I love him?
Mm-hmm. Well, I like to point out to young people, and really people of all ages, that what we interpret as love a lot of times is lust. We're really just intoxicated with physical attraction, and the truth is, if the relationship got tested, it'd fail immediately. But even if we truly are in love, the irony is that 1 Corinthians 13 describes what love is, and it begins by saying love is patient. So it doesn't mean we won't be attracted to someone and have a desire to be intimate with them, but it is our love for them and for God that will cause us to persevere in patience. And if we're lacking patience, we're not operating in love, we're operating in lust, and that's going to end bad.
I am so glad that you mentioned that scripture, 1 Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. You always hear it at weddings. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I talk to my guys about is, look, we're going to read this passage, and we're going to replace the word love with your name. So it's not love is patient. All of a sudden it's Dustin is patient and Dustin is kind. Well, are you kind? No, not really. Okay, we need to work on that.
Exactly.
And the other thing from a biblical foundation is I find that once we ask the question, what is love?
Mm-hmm.
And if we are brought up in the church, we should have a biblical foundation. And this is almost like, you know, an assignment to write down what God's definition of love is. Because in 1 John 4, God says, the Apostle John writes, that God is love. And just like you stated, you know, if you're not operating out of love and love is patient, then you're actually in lust.
Mm-hmm.
So how big of a problem is the confusion there from the girls that you're talking to?
Well, again, you know, especially when you're dealing with young girls, and I can identify, I didn't grow up with a very close relationship with my dad, and I was one of those who was just convinced that if I could have a guy love me, that I'd never be sad again. And so we just misinterpret the physical touch, the desire to be together as something loving, when in reality it's lustful, and it will run its course, because lust always does, whereas love is easily satisfied. Lust is never satisfied, truly. And so we live that out and find that, wow, this was not at all what I expected, and it ends in hurt and confusion.
Laura, what is so sacred about sex?
You know, I'm glad you asked that. There are so many scriptures that, you know, we can refer to. There's multiple scriptures in the Bible, but I love quoting Jesus in Matthew 19, 4-6. He's asked a question about divorce, and he refers back to Genesis 2, and he asks the guys, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh? He asks them, haven't you read this? And then he says, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And I could take a long time and expound on different parts of that scripture, but let me just suffice it to say that God joins this marital union. That word join is cleave in the King James, and it literally means in its original text to be glued to, permanently affixed to his wife. They become one flesh, which means one physical body, talking about sexual intercourse, and God joins this together. You don't get a lot more sacred than that.
Sure.
And I like to point out that when it says, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, we have to ask ourselves, for what reason? And we go right to the verse before, that in the beginning the Creator made the male and female so that a man would leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And so our bodies, our anatomical design was for a purpose and a plan. And to go outside that plan, as we pointed out, is self-defeating. It really is wicked, and it's dishonoring the reason God designed our bodies the way he did. So it's extremely profound. And we know just from the social sciences that keeping sex within the confines of a Christ-centered, a healthy, godly marriage, that's where our children flourish. When children come along, there are just so many physical, emotional, spiritual, and social benefits to God's plan.
God created sex. Mm-hmm. Hugh Hefner did not.
Exactly. Neither did MTV.
And TV and the world. And let me mm-hmm. encourage you singles listening right now. God wants you to have the best sex life in your marriage ever. Christians should be having the best sex under this covenant, God-ordained gift called marriage. And unfortunately, sin has stained that so much that, you know, we generally tell kids or teens that, you know, we're not going to talk about this. We almost give the impression that it's gross. You save that for your husband. You save that for your wife. And that's not what God's word says.
No, not at all. This is something to look forward to and celebrate.
One of the, I love this question that you pose, and we'll wrap up with this, Laura. STDs are the result of sex, true or false?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, well, that's true. STDs are the result of sex. What's your take on that?
My take is then I love to pose that question and then ask the young people, well, let me ask you a question. If a man and woman save themselves for marriage and have sex within the confines of marriage and are faithful to each other, do they need to be careful that they don't catch an STD? And everyone says, well, of course not. And then I make them blush because I say, what if they have a lot of sex? What if they have sex a lot? Do their chances increase? No. And then I'd like to point out at that point that really STDs are not the result of sex. They're the result of sex outside God's boundaries. And what's amazing is to think that if this next generation caught the vision of God's plan and every young person waited, I understand that that is not overly realistic, but nonetheless, if every young person waited, we would eradicate STDs in a single generation, which goes back to the comment you made at the very beginning, that is when God says don't, he means don't hurt yourself.
Amen. Laura Gallier is my guest. LauraGallier.com is where you can pick up her book, several books. This one is dedicated towards singles. Why Wait? What Singles Need to Know About Sex and Dating. Once again, LauraGallier.com. Thank you so much for listening. This is a prayer and listener-supported broadcast. If you like what you hear, we are deeply blessed by your prayers and your financial support to keep us on the air. If you have a question, you want to talk about it on the air, call us toll-free at 1-855-5-DUSTIN. You can also visit us online at 7places.org. There is a free online community there that you can get plugged into today. The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk, guys. It's living in God's power. I'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Dustin Daniels Show. We're a listener-supported ministry. To make a donation for our resources that were mentioned on today's program, visit 7places.org. That's S-E-V-E-N places.org. The Dustin Daniels Show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering professional counseling advice that pertains to your personal situation. If you need further help, we encourage you to seek the services of a Christ-based counseling professional.